Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Listeners to City on the Hill radio show, we are so thankful that you have joined us today. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come and join us and or to listen to our podcast. We have so many now since this show has been on since 2004. God has gifted us with some really incredible interviews that they are really worth sharing with so many people throughout the world. And we're thankful for those that are listening to us, even in other countries. And we hope that you will share us with your friends and family. And today is just another one of those days. There's so much to talk about in the news, and we've got Ms. Barbara Moore with us. But to start off, I'd like to ask Ms. Barbara to start us off in prayer. Hi, Ms. Barbara.
Hi, Diana. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for this day that you have given us. We do recognize, O God, that it is a gift from you. Father, we thank you that we have purpose here on this earth, that you've allowed us to remain yet another day because you have a purpose for us being here. And, Father, we thank you that we have the opportunity to share you with others and to witness to your truth and your reality. And, Father, to witness that that you have saved us, O God, through the blood of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and that now we have eternal life and we'll be with you forever. And thank you, Father, that we have that opportunity to share you with others and also to tell them of the judgment to come, that when each one of us dies, that there is a judgment. And Father, that we'll have to bear our own sins in hell forever, in torture and torment, unless, Father, we have called upon you, and unless we have repented of our sins and accepted the sacrifice that you gave, Lord, through your only begotten Son, Jesus, on the cross, who paid the price for our sins and now it desires to live in our hearts and allow us to live in him. We thank you for that, Father. We have much to share. You have given us a noble and good purpose to remain here on this earth. And I pray, Father, that we will, all your people, Father, all those that you have saved, Lord, that are now living on this earth, will remember that every day that we're here. That's the main purpose. We're here to witness to you, Lord, and we thank you for it. We pray for the lost. We pray for those who have not yet entered into that personal relationship with you through Christ. We pray for those to be saved, to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to give their lives to you, O God. And you so desire to have Jesus live in each one of us. That's your desire, Father. You desire that none should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. And we simply agree with you, O God. And we pray, Father, you'll put many in our paths that are ready to hear about the judgment to come and the good news of Jesus Christ, that he paid the price already. And if we'll give our hearts and our lives to him, then we can receive that gift from you of eternal life. We thank you, Father. And we pray many, many, many would come into the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Barbara.
What a privilege
it
is.
Oh, it is. And, we were talking before the show, and I just was really thinking about what you had said, which you're fixing to tell us about it. But I've always, and I have worked in places before where it was said, for you to know, you've got to study the original in order to really find the fake. And I think, that's pages in, when you want to study money, because there's a lot of fraudulent money currency going on. You have to really have people study the original, And I think that's the way it is, too, with this nation's history. You have to study the original intent. And that's what's so good about, really, your viewpoint and Mr. Wayne Wood, who also comes on with us. And the many guests is because they like to point everything back to the original intent, because otherwise, you really don't know where you're going. And a lot of people out there that thinks they know this nation and the way it's supposed to be really does not know it unless they study the original intent of the founding fathers and the foundation. And that's where that's just a gift from God to you and Mr. Wayne.
Well, thank you, Diane. Our nation's Capitol building with the lady standing on top of it, adorning it and in the preeminent position there at the top of the Capitol building. That's a good example of what you were talking about, going back to the original writings about it. The designer was a man by the name of Thomas Crawford, and he named her armed freedom. And I would just speculate, I could be wrong, I hope I'm wrong, but I would speculate that there's not a senator, a member of the House of Representatives, the president, his cabinet, the United States Supreme Court justices that know what her full name is, Armed Freedom, what she was named by the man who designed her. The armed part has been dropped, and I don't think it's been referred to in about 100 years. But if we go back, as you said, to the original documents, we find the correct name, and I have a tendency to believe that the word armed was dropped from her name because of political correctness, just as the Secretary of War, the name Secretary of War has been changed to Secretary of Defense. But this wonderful bronze statue on our Capitol Dome is standing alert, has a sword. Now, that sword is sheathed, but she has a sword nonetheless, because freedom must be defended, and we must be ready to defend freedom at all times, in all places. And George Washington our first president said that to be prepared for war is the most effectual means of preserving peace. And we know from all experience, whether it's in a personal way or whether it's nation to nation, that bullies don't pick on people or nations that are prepared to defend themselves. Bullies always select the weakest to pick on because they know that they can have power over the weaker one. And so atop our Capitol building, atop the dome, Armed Freedom stands with a sword in her right hand, in her right hand. I think that's significant as well, in her right hand. When you have something in your right hand, that indicates importance. It indicates power. Now, in her left hand is a wreath, like a laurel wreath, which would be an indicator of peace. And the United States of America has always desired peace, but is always willing to defend our freedom as well. So we desire peace, we hope for peace, but we should be prepared for war and prepared to defend freedom. But crowning her head, there are 13 stars representing the original 13 states, which is important. And but she's an altogether majestic fight. And I would so like for Americans to once again know the history of armed freedom. Diana? Hey, I seem to have lost Diana for a moment. We could also talk about the Statue of Liberty as she is in the harbor having greeted so many refugees from all over the world and still is greeting the refugees and saying, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. And what a beautiful sight she has been to so many political refugees throughout the years, and even today she welcomes, holding up that golden torch of liberty to all those who would need political asylum and desire freedom and desire to be come up under the protection of a nation that believes in freedom.
Ms. Barbara, I wrote a blog Tuesday on our website, cityonthehill.tv, and I titled it, Texas Senate Unknowingly Honors a Most Dangerous Islamist Imam, Fethullah Gulen, and taxpayers are funding his madrasas, charter schools. And, you know, we have a good friend, Donna Gardner, who informed us of this. She wrote an article on it, and I just wrote a little something and linked it to her articles along with another article that just really gave more information. But when I hear you talking about armed freedom and indeed the political correctness that has come down where that word armed has been dropped, when I think of armed, I'm thinking of somebody that is vigilant. And it's almost like vigilance has been dropped because, you know, when you have senators in your state that doesn't know that someone is really a danger to the United States and they're giving him accolades and honors, it sounds to me like, you know, the word senator, which to me, you know, was highly revered, you know, nowadays there's all sorts of people really wearing that title and not honoring what it's supposed to really do, which I'm thinking is really far really a defense to this nation, and their lack of knowledge in this day and time is really very dangerous.
Oh, they have placed us in a most dangerous position. You know, what has been taught in the schools, in the government schools over the past 50, 60, 70 years, not teaching our from those primary documents, as you mentioned earlier, and not giving us, not giving the American people the knowledge necessary for freedom, not teaching those principles of freedom that God reveals to us in His Word and our founding fathers put into all the government documents, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and so forth. And we have lacked knowledge. And, you know, the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. We've lacked the knowledge. We've lacked knowledge in civics. The voting has declined dramatically. Americans have not participated in the political process, have not been engaged in the political process, have not been vigilant to guard our freedom. And a lot of that, Diana, goes back to we haven't been taught rightly. You know, when it seemed to me that so many times the coaches were given the responsibility of teaching history and civics, and that's not to put coaches down. They're great in their capacity as coaches, but that seemed to be done a lot when I was growing up, and I was not taught correctly, and that's going back a lot of years, you know, so it's not just recent years where the teaching has declined. It goes way back. So we're not a people armed with knowledge, and we're not prepared to be involved in the public life of our country. And as a result, we have allowed our senators, representatives, judges, presidents to get away with so much that is not according to the Constitution, so much that is not keeping with those principles of freedom. We've allowed it because here in this country, the people rule, and we haven't been doing a very good job of it, and we've been allowing corruption and recklessness and all manner of evil to take place in our government. Let me give you just a little another example. One of my students today, we were talking about the internment of Japanese Americans here in this country during World War II, and how we lay that at the feet of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a progressive Democrat, and he made a lot of decisions and policies that I strongly disagree with, that were terribly unconstitutional. And we think back to that time in World War II where so many Jewish people wanted to immigrate, and they were not allowed to by him. He refused to allow, and they were, and many perished as a result of that. But in turning, putting the Japanese Americans, patriotic Americans, in taking them from their homes, their families, and putting them in camps altogether, and we were talking about how wrong that was and how unconstitutional. But he told me that in his book in public school they had read about it, but it simply said that the government, the United States government, took the Japanese Americans and placed them in the camps. It didn't specify that the Congress made no law to do this, that it was the president with executive orders, and I have the number of that order, but not right in front of me, but with this executive order, he authorized this policy in violation of the Constitution, but they didn't put the blame on the progressive Democrat the way it should have been done. You know, I refuse to accept the blame, our country to accept the blame of a policy that was done by a president, out of control president, not under the control of the Constitution. So, But, you know, that's just a little example of how Americans today in public schools are being given a view of America that is not correct. And that's a really a tiny thing, as you know, an example, a slight example, but multiply it, and it's being done all the time in so many different ways that patriotism and love of country is being undermined by the very textbooks that our young people are reading. And
I agree with you 100%, Ms. Barbara. And I thank God for the Tea Party, because I think, you know, they are trying to steer us back on the right course, the Tea Parties. And what you're saying about the books in the schools, I remember that myself, remembering how boring and, you know, you just want to get over with, you know, the civics classes. You know, they did not make it interesting. And but really, that should have been one of the premier classes for the children, because it's about their own nation and how it's run. But and now we've raised them to the point that, you know, most of them really do not care about their government, really don't even care about right and wrong. When you hear about the latest polls on how they see homosexuality as being okay. But again, you know, we talk a lot about the Common Core states and standards, you know, public schools, public education, and the route that, you know, this administration seems to be taking it. But really, it's really one of the ways that this nation can be destroyed. If you teach the children to disrespect their nation, to be ashamed of it, and to not know how it's supposed to properly run, then, yeah, men that have all sorts of, you know, of plans, selfish plans, can really just rout the masses.
Yeah, that's right. And it is a distinct change in philosophy of education from the 18th and 19th century. The big, big, big change comes in the 20th century. And right at the beginning of the 20th century, at the beginning of the 1900s, the change takes place where Americans are, the textbooks change, and some of the authors of books are quoted that base their books on erroneous information, and then that gets into the college courses. And that's being taught, it's taught, and then it's taught by others who are taught by it. And we're at the place where we just don't know very much. But you're right about the Tea Party movement. They are going back. And what is really exciting is in the study of history, one thing leads you to another. And that's such a satisfying, exciting study when one thing leads you to another. And that's exactly what it does. The Tea Party movement is going back to the Constitution, and they're beginning to study the Constitution and see that this is an out-of-control government and that we've got to get it within the restrictions and the confines of the Constitution again if we're going to survive in freedom. But the Constitution study is taking them back further to the Declaration of Independence and all the teaching that went on in that time with the writings of Sam Adams, the writings of James Otis, and Patrick Henry, so many of the great Americans writings that led up to the War for Independence, and the principles that were expounded upon in those writings. It's so beautiful. But anyway, so then the study of the Declaration of Independence leads you to the study of Sam Adams and John Adams and Patrick Henry and on and on and on. Then that leads back further, and you know, and so on. So it's one discovery after another. And that's how you learn history. It really is the best way to learn history and to read about the lives of those that made history and to see what they sacrificed, what they stood for. And, you know, it's just a beautiful thing. And the Tea Party is experiencing that now, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, and I know parents are very busy, but I think if one of them would join, if they could join a Tea Party, you know, right now I'm seeing a lot of them, they're really allowing their members to learn more about the history. They're inviting great speakers to come to their meetings, and I just think, I know that that has got to really help. You know, the individual to just really know where they want to go, how they can get there for, you know, as far as the steps of this nation, because they are becoming more and more informed about the Constitution and, you know, what is truly going on in this nation.
Mm-hmm. Well, back to what you were talking about, Diana, with the school. The Muslim school and how taxpayers are funding it unknowingly and how this was able to be done right up under our noses and honoring the unhonorable, the dishonorable. And I was thinking about the attack, the latest terrorist attack that I'm aware of on our soldiers in Germany. And even ABC and I believe the New York Times reveal that this was a terrorist shouting Allah Akbar and Jihad, Jihad, as he murdered our soldiers in Germany. And, you know, it's we're not hearing a lot about that. We've got to get to the bottom of these things. The school, the Muslim school that we're financing unknowingly, and this latest terror attack. We have to be knowledgeable. We have to learn about these things and take action.
And Ms. Barbara, I just think, you know, I know some people use the idea that, you know, if you even look at the truth here, that really you are prejudiced against these, you know, the Muslim people. And, again, there's that political correctness, you know, that people try to throw at you, you know, how, you know, the offense word. I think of the offense word, you know, we're offending. And I'm thinking to myself, it's really just common sense, you know, just to look and see at really what's going on. And I think the more we hide, And a lot of the, you know, I hate to say that a lot of the mainstream media is really not doing a good job, you know, because this right here, what Ms. Donna Gardner had written about, should be headline news. But yet, Ms. Barbara,
oh,
I don't know that I've even seen it.
No. Well, of course, we don't watch the mainstream media news anymore either, but I don't think it's there. You know, we've got to tell the truth. It may not be politically correct, but, oh, by the way, did you see Colonel Alan West on the 700 Club yesterday?
No, I did not. No, that had to be great.
You can probably go to the CBN.com and see that interview. But he's a straight shooter. He is. And he tells it like it is, and he recognizes the ideology of Islam is the enemy. It's not the individual Muslim people who may not know any more than many Americans and deserve the truth also about Islam. You know, it's not just Americans who deserve the truth. I'm sorry?
Did he say anything about what is the latest thing going on in Congress? regarding, you know, all these political correctness towards Israel.
Yeah, he believes that he is at the place where he can make a difference. He's on the Armed Services Committee, and then he's on the Small Business Committee. And he desires to remove regulations that handicap our small businesses. And so he's in a real good place in both committees. But he recognizes the danger of Islam and speaks very clearly and plainly about it. He is not politically correct. And there is just a strength and a gentleness in that man that is very, and knowledge, oh my goodness, he's knowledgeable, is very, very appealing. And God's got his hand on that man, Diana.
Wow.
He really has his hand on him, and he's going to, he is raising him up, what we've been praying for God to raise up godly leaders who are knowledgeable.
Barbara, did he talk about, I don't know if this is something that he would handle because he's dealing with small businesses, and AIG is a pretty big corporation, but John Ismo had talked about the $100 million that was funneled to international Sharia-compliant financing on American taxpayers' expense, and they're being used, that money is being used for renovation projects to directly aid Islam, which is against the establishment of religion. And he's saying, where is the outcry?
If I were Colonel Ismo, a letter from the Moral Foundation about that to Colonel Alan West, I think would be in order, because he is a man.
I would mention that then.
He is a man who is speaking out clearly. He is a trumpet. And giving a clear call. So that I think that would be the thing to do. He may be well aware of it and be working on it already for all we know, but I know it's something he would address if he's not doing so already.
Wow. Well, it's good to have one. And I know this is just the start. We're into March, and Ms. Barbara, there's just so many things going on. I know they got their hands full in this new Congress. Even we, the people, I know it's overwhelming to keep up with all the latest that is going on. But really, we must. We really don't have a choice. We must keep up with what's going on.
I know it.
And
you know, sometimes, Diana, it gets more than we can bear. It really does. Just as an ordinary American and trying to make sense of it all and trying to keep up with what's happening in the news and then trying to do some research on it and go about the everyday business of living with so many responsibilities. You know, it can be overwhelming, and sometimes you just got to take a little break, you know. Can't take it 24/7, but you're right. We've got to stay in there and learn as much as we can and be as active as we can and do it as if it all depends on us and pray as if it all depends on God.
Yeah, and it's really sad, though, that there's so much in the mainstream media that's really not worth even listening to, and the things that they should be spouting are not even there. So it really makes the work a little harder, and that's why it's so good to have other medias, like you said, Ms. Barbara, the 700 Club. You know, I love the 700 Club. One News Now, American Family Radio. You know, they've got so many, they've got really good information that they put out that is so important for us today. And also, I just think, too, of what's going on in Wisconsin, Ms. Barbara. I saw they're supposedly put out some kind of a poll that shows that nationally that the governor is not being looked at favorably. And I'm thinking, well, I don't know how they ask those questions. You know, we've heard about these polls.
Yeah, they didn't ask me.
Don't ask, don't tell.
They ask you.
And I just think about the don't ask, don't tell, you know, how the military was supposedly for that. But we know better when you really look at the detail of those, you know, the questions asked. And so, again, I think it's the same thing, because I know with a Tea Party and the state of the country with Obamacare, I think a lot of them are probably thinking, you know, what the governor of Wisconsin is doing is unfortunately a hard thing, but maybe the right thing.
Well, what the governor is doing is right. You know, public servants do not have a right to do collective bargaining. They are public servants. They are paid by taxpayers. We fund them. You know, whether they're teachers or whatever position of public service they have, they are government paid, taxpayer paid, and the right to collective bargain against the people that are paying them and depending on those services, that's just wrong. It's just wrong. These are public servants, not this is not a private company that wants to form an association or a union to bargain with their boss. These are necessary services. It's not like, Ronald Reagan with the air controllers, and he fired every one of them that was striking because they have no right to strike and stop the necessary public service from going on. They don't need to be in public service if that's their mentality. They need to be in private, in the private sector working if they want to bargain collectively and so forth. Not public service. You know, it's ridiculous. So, you know, the Wisconsin governor is right. I hope he'll stand his ground, and I hope he'll get the support he needs. But, you know, the mainstream, so-called mainstream media, they're framing, I won't even say debate, I don't even know that there's a debate going on, but the way they frame this issue, it affects the way people think. So if they're getting biased information, if the public is being fed biased information, and they're putting the issue in such a way as to mislead, you know, well, no wonder the polls might indicate no support for the Wisconsin governor. But, you know, I don't know. He's doing the right thing. And what a brave man he is.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm hoping that when it comes time to election, that maybe the people will show how they look at it. And I hope that he will be vindicated, because I'm thinking probably almost every state in the nation is going to be faced with, unfortunately, the same problems he has, because, Ms. Barbara, the problems, some of those problems really started with this administration. He has put us in such a downward spiral economically, and the states are under so many mandates that really they can no longer breathe.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the states themselves are asking for flexibility, but, you know, and we heard that echo over here in Dothan. I better not get into that. But anyway, they're, and I'm hoping that the states, rather than ask for flexibility, will just refuse these mandates and refuse these regulations that are putting them in such straits. You know, I hope that the Arizona governor, who stood tall and strong, and the Wisconsin governor doing the same. I think the Ohio governor is also, and you know, a lot of good examples of strong leadership from within these states. So, you know, maybe that will encourage other states. What is it? one of our guests says that when, I know who it is, it's Pastor, the Patriot Pastor. He said when one man stiffens his spine and stands for what's right, that stiffens the spines of others.
I think that's what's happened with the Tea Party. I remember how that started out. And Tim, Ms. Barbara, I just, you know, talking about what you have come through with an incident locally, I was just thinking about something that Ms. Annette Griswold said yesterday, our guest said yesterday, that, you know, that it may even be that some of these power companies are going to be unable to meet these EPA standards. And, of course, you know, this, we've heard about this, you know, with this climate gate and global warming and all that. You know, if you can't force them to do it one way, you force them another. And pretty much what this administration has done is they're using the EPA as a tool to force, cap and trade.
Yeah, he sent in armed agents to take over the sewage plant here in Dothan. And with guns, and they're with the EPA, and they confiscated records, and we don't even know what all they did, and have not yet even given an explanation to the local government as to what's going on. But the EPA is the arm of the Obama administration. And they are wielding that power. If they can't do it one way, they're going to do it another. So, you know, Congress is not going along with the Obama plan for energy and cap and trade and all that, and the overregulation. So the Obama administration is just using administratively with orders, you know, to the EPA. But, I mean, we experienced that right here in Dothan. And, but, you know, talking about what's going on here in southeast Alabama, they're proposing the local education system is proposing a 45% tax increase, ad valorem tax increase, to go for education and a small amount of it to go to fund a new library. And you're talking almost a 50% increase in property taxes, car tags, tags for your boat and truck and all of that, an incredible amount of increase on the people of Dothan. And, the mayor and the commissioners went ahead and voted to, you know, put that forward to our legislators and that's where we are now.
Well, I believe that when election comes, these people, you know, as you said, you had over about 200 people that really did not get to speak, you know, the full time that they were expecting to. I think they're going to let them know come election time. Because thank God we still have that ability to vote. And just like with the Tea Party, what they did November 2nd, I'm just thinking, because for one thing, it's almost a last resort for everybody. You know, everybody's hurting, as we were talking about with the EPA, for them to even have the power to force some of these big power companies to eventually go out of business because they cannot afford to meet the standards that's being put on them. When we know, as we have interviewed Dr. Boudreau, you know, here's a professor of chemistry and physics that has told us there is no such thing as global warming. You know, that is really, all that is an agenda, a hoax, that, you know, he has, time and time again, he has told us that. And, but yet we're being made as a people to buy it hook, line, and sinker and to pay for it.
Well, it's a bold-faced lie, and a lot of people are making a lot of money on that bold-faced lie. A lot of funding is going on, it's a big money maker, and it is one of those parts of the puzzle that is going to be used to destroy our country. And as you said, the increased regulations on the power companies, forcing them out of business, and I think they want to reduce us third world status, and it's part of the redistribution of the wealth globally. As you said, there's an agenda, and they're working their plan. They got a plan, and they're working it for all they're worth.
Well, they're hitting us from every which way. I mean, they're really, Ms. Barbara, they're hitting us economically, right? We're seeing that with all this, the global warming agenda and the Obamacare. But we're seeing it also in the school system taking over the minds of future generation, molding them in the way that they want so that the government that's formed in the future will be exactly, you know, what they've been feeding them in the schools. And with the Common Core State Standards, which is a nationalizing education, we've, you know, kept talking about that, people really don't realize how close that is to coming true. And then also when you've got such a lack of knowledge of how to treat the war on terror rightly and what is going on in other countries, it's like, every way you turn around, we're disintegrating not just inwardly, but also being attacked from the outside. And it's just really a lot for families, I know, to even believe. But you and me, we've been hearing a lot of this from a specialist that really knows what goes on. And it's really coming true before our eyes. And really, the Bible does talk about it.
Yes. Yes, it is coming true before our very eyes, and if anyone still doubts that, look at the food prices rising weekly. Every week you go to the store, and the food prices have jumped again. You know, it's every week those food prices are just skyrocketing, and our energy costs are skyrocketing, and at the gas pump, they're talking about gas going to be going up to $4 a gallon before long and on up to $5 as well. And yet the government policy is to restrict drilling here. We are an oil-rich country that is not permitted by those in authority to drill for oil and produce oil. And we are rich in resources, and you know, even agricultural products. And going back to global warming, they have shown now that it takes more energy to produce ethanol, the corn-based product. They're using so much of the corn to make the additive to gasoline. It takes a lot more energy to do that, and it's a lot more costly to do that. And plus, so many food products are corn-based. Now there's a scarcity of corn due to it being used for gasoline, and there's a scarcity of it, so the prices are going higher. There are thousands of food products that corn is used in, corn syrup and so forth. And so, you know, that's one of the reasons that the food prices keep rising steadily week by week is government policies in agriculture.
And Ms. Barbara, I just saw, too, the subsidies, you're saying. It had a scale of different things that, you know, we're subsidizing for, and that one of the highest as far as the cost of subsidizing it was really the solar power and the wind power. And, you know, these are supposedly, you know, most earth-friendly, right, energy, but yet it costs so much. And really, we the taxpayers are paying for it. And that's, there you go, as you were talking about, you know, why prices are so high and everything else, you know. My goodness, and can we afford to dish out more money to ineffective programs like the Kevin Jennings, you know, Safe School Czars program? I mean, there's a lot of ineffective programs that's really getting money, and the programs that shouldn't be getting money, I mean, it seems like it just keeps on continuing, and the common sense approach, unfortunately, is going down the drain.
Yeah. Yeah. And the good thing is, with everything that's happening that is putting us on a downward path, full speed, the good thing is that there are those who are waking up and are putting the brakes on. And, you know, we haven't hit bottom yet, Diana. And we're putting the brakes on. It's skidding, but we are putting the brakes on, and we're hoping that it's in time to turn this train around. And
Well, we have hope.
He's the God of all hope.
Well, another thing, when you were saying a good thing too, Ms. Barbara, is maybe it's making all people, not just the poor, but also the rich, see that you cannot put your hope in material wealth, because you see so many countries disintegrating these days, and even our own. You know, I know that people in big businesses have seen, you know, a lot of the bigger businesses go down. So maybe, in a way, God is having mercy and is opening eyes that have been really shut to the truth. And maybe more people will be in, you know, yearning to find out what can they really hold on. And that is something that we like to talk about in City on the Hill, which is, you know, God's word is there for them. There's so much in there to fill them with hope and really tell them what's going to happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Our God is the God of all hope. He is the God of all encouragement. And he has blessed us. He has blessed us with his word. And if we read his word, we begin to grow in knowledge and grow in being able to see things from God's perspective, which is right and true. And, you know, and just thinking about... you know, that this things on this earth are temporary. This is not our home. And we are passing through. And we're here for a reason. And that reason is not to accumulate wealth and material possessions. We're to lay up our treasures in heaven, where moths, rust doesn't corrupt and moths don't eat away at it. We're to be setting our sights on spiritual, on the spiritual, and we're to use the things of the earth the way God wants us to use them. And so, you know, we can be encouraged, and we can learn more from the Lord the way we're supposed to see things and to understand them. I know,
and
I pray,
Barbara,
for a spirit of wisdom and revelation of God daily.
And Miss Barbara, I was just thinking too, you know, because you, Mr. Wayne, really just do such an awesome job of reminding us of our history. I'd like to close this with a reminder of, it's almost like we are going backwards. You know, we've been successful, now we're disintegrating little by little, and almost at times it's almost like in a hurried pace here lately, with so many problems around us. But I was thinking, it's almost a time for Americans to remember what the founding fathers did at the very beginning, when they had great tribulation in this land. And I just remember that prayer, Miss Barbara, from Benjamin Franklin. I know a lot of people have been told the lie, that a lot of the founding fathers did not truly believe that God had a hand on their lives personally. And this man is one of those that they have used to promote that idea. But the prayer of Benjamin Franklin at when they were trying to form this nation, you know, where he was 84 years old, would you mind quoting a little bit of that, if that is somewhere where you can get your hands on it?
Well, I can't get my hands on it, but maybe my mind will help me a little bit, bring it back to me, Diana. But what you're talking about is the Constitutional Convention in 1787, and the delegates there, 55 of them, had reached an impasse. They were ready to pack up their bags and go home and face the terror of, after all they'd gone through, that the United States of America was not going to make it. It was subject to being taken over by any number of different countries, because they were not able to put together a plan of government to protect the freedom and the rights of the individuals, and to be strong enough to protect us against our enemies from without and within. And so they had reached an impasse, and this was the point where Benjamin Franklin stood up. He had not done so during the entire convention. He had a very serious condition of gout, which was painful. He even had to be carried from his home to the state house there in Philadelphia daily. And so when he had something to say, he would always have a fellow delegate from Pennsylvania deliver that message. He would write it down and they would read it. But this time he stood up, and everyone was just taken aback. And he began to speak, and he spoke about how they had been together for about 6 weeks at that point, and they had examined every government in the history of the world, and they had found them all lacking. None of them were suitable for us in this country. And some of them had some good points, but none of them fit their circumstances. And he said, you know, we've talked, we've brought information, we've done this, we've done that, and our human understanding is not enough. We don't have, I'm paraphrasing, we don't have what it takes to do this. We don't have the wisdom. We don't have the understanding to do this. We need God. Why is it that we haven't once thought about calling on the Father of Lights to illuminate our understanding, he said. You know, don't you remember when during our war for independence and our fight for freedom, we had prayer in this very room daily? And our prayers, sir, were graciously answered beyond our dreams. And have we now forgotten this powerful friend, or do we no longer think we need his assistance? I've lived a long time, sir, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without its maker's notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? No, no. He said, I propose that we have prayer, that we go before God Almighty and pray. And so they did.
Yes. Oh, I just always love, that point in time, I think, was really one of the most pivotal times in the history of this nation. And it was only cemented by that act of prayer. How good of God to bring them back to their knees in prayer. And maybe, Miss Barbara, that's where we're at.
Yes. Yes. I think it is. And that's a good place to be.
Yes, it is a good place to be. Well, Miss Barbara, I'm going to close it, and I know I always ask you to pray, so I'm going to close it in prayer, but I want to also read Luke 15. I just turned, and it's it's this that really hits my eye. Jesus tells the parable of the lost sheep, and Jesus told them, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them, does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulder and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. So with that in mind, Ms. Barbara, I'm just going to close with a prayer. And just want to invite those that have family members or friends that do not know the Lord as Savior, or if they are listening and they do not know the Lord as their Savior, I think that parable right there, Jesus is trying to tell you how much rejoicing there would be over you because you are so loved. And so we just want to give them to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to speak with you and to give everything to you in prayer. Lord, we just thank you for those who have listened to the show and who are still listening, Lord, and who will share this show. We pray, Lord, that you will just put a burden in their hearts, Lord, to get their, Lord, their soul right with you. And Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you loved us so much that you gave Jesus Christ for us. Lord, Heavenly Father, he gave up himself, Lord. He gave his life so that we can have life eternal. And what a great privilege, what a great merciful God you are, Lord. And so we just pray, Lord, that as you said, your word will not return void, that those who have heard this will realize, Lord, that they are so loved by you. That, Lord, there are trials and tribulations that this earth is full of it because this earth is not our home, but that you have a place that is waiting for us, Lord. And you said there's nothing better than our names being written in heaven. So, Lord, I invite them to, Lord, to ask you. You said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open. And, Lord, you're asking them, and, Lord, you gladly open the door for them to enter in with a relationship with you. So, Lord, just as you, Lord, forgave me for my sins, I pray that you would help them to come and repent and to ask you for forgiveness and to ask that you would enter in a relationship with them so that, Lord, they can experience the abundance of life, Lord. How it was that Paul was able to sing as he was in prison. And sometimes, Lord, I know that we probably all feel like we're in prison with all the things going around. But yet, Lord, you are able to give us joy and are able to give us peace that passes understanding. Lord, no one can know it unless they know you as Lord and Savior. So, Lord, we ask that for anyone listening the world over, Lord, because we know that you first loved us. And we gratefully, Lord, gratefully just give all our problems to you in prayer, asking that you, Lord, you give us the strength to continue on. We thank you, Lord, and we ask these things in the mighty name of your precious, wonderful Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Diana.
Well, thank you, Ms. Barbara, and thank you, listeners. We hope that you'll tune in again tomorrow. We have Dawn Wildman, Ms. Barbara. She'll be on tomorrow.
Great.
Yeah, our Tea Party leader in California, and really she's on the National Tea Party Board, so she may have a friend to tell us what's going on in their state, too, in their state Tea Party. So she's just so full of information. So tomorrow we get back in with our usual guest routine. We did not have one today, and I hope you didn't mind that. We enjoyed talking about our Lord and Savior. Right, Ms. Barbara? We always do.
That's right.
And Ms. Barbara, thank you for reminding us about armed freedom. She's not just called freedom. She's called armed freedom. And if you don't mind, I'll close us with a thought on that.
Well, to be prepared for war, is the most effectual means of preserving peace, and peace is what we want. And that's what we will have if we are vigilant and alert and prepared to defend our freedom.
Well, listeners, we hope you'll join us. We want to occupy until the Lord comes. So thank you again for listening. May God bless you. May God shine his face upon you. Go to www.cityonahill.tv and share the podcast.
You have been listening to the radio program, A City on a Hill, promoting the Christian biblical worldview. May God bless you richly as you serve the Lord.